Well, welcome back to our 20th talk in our series of talks in the Book of Revelation entitled Revelation, a Message for Our Troubled Times. And we're in the sixth section, in fact we're coming to the end of the sixth section, and we've seen in that sixth section Jesus dealing with Satan's greatest ally, that great harlot, that mystery Babylon that sits upon all the nations and the kings of the world. And she is the one that Satan uses to control and influence the world and bring about his will and purposes in the world. She is the one who is representative of all the sinful and evil pleasures and pursuits of this world. She is the one that people sell their souls for and will not have the Lord Jesus Christ for. So, she is targeted by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again with his saints to end this world and to destroy this world. Targeted because she has been responsible in so many ways for the destruction of souls and for their doom when they will be cast away forever and all eternity into hell. It's for her pleasures that they have sold their souls out and brought this upon themselves. So we saw that at the end, when the Lord Jesus Christ does come to wind up this world, then those who are left in this world, remember the saints have been taken, they are with the Lord Jesus Christ and coming with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are left, who haven't been destroyed as the heavens start to fall and all the stars of the sky start to rain down upon the world, those people will watch and witness the destruction of all their pleasures, all that has brought them pleasure, those sinful pleasures, all those places that they have frequented and all those things that they have done will all be destroyed before their very eyes, and they will mourn. The Bible says they will say, alas, alas, and they will regret seeing the end of all that they have invested so much in and taken so much pleasure in, all gone before their eyes, before they themselves will be destroyed and then taken to judgment, where they will be dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ for all that they have done in the flesh. Now, let me ask you, friends, just at the outset of this, where will you be standing on that day? Will you be standing with the Lord Jesus Christ because you are one of his? What a wonderful thing that will be, to be able to be with him when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, not to be those who will be the subject of his judgment. And there's only one way to be with him, and that is through belief in him and trust in him as your saviour. For the only way you can escape the judgment of God for our sins is if the Lord Jesus Christ has taken those sins for you and washed you and cleansed you from all your sins and paid the price for those sins on Calvary. Has he done that, friends? Are you one of his? Will you be with him when he comes in his glory and in his might and in his justice to wind up this world and to deal with this world in justice? Well, section 20th talk, and section 6 ends in chapter 19. But it is only the first part of chapter 19. The first part we see the whole of heaven rejoicing over the destruction of the harlot and the coming in of justice and righteousness. And we see those who are the Lord Jesus Christ being married to him, that is, being joined to him and with him for all eternity, never to be parted from him ever again. They will be his blood-bought children for all eternity. And the second part, we see the beginning of the seventh and last section of this book, where the Lord Jesus Christ rides out to conquer Satan and his allies in opposing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two agents that he uses. The beast out of the sea, which is all the nations of the world that do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. And the beast out of the land, representing all the false religions of this world. All that draw people away from the Lord Jesus Christ and make them worship and encourage them to worship the vain and foolish things of this world. They will be destroyed, and then all his enemies will be destroyed. All those who stand with them will be destroyed as well. So, as we come to chapter 19 and the end of the sixth section of the book, we see the whole of heaven rejoicing and the marriage of the Lamb. And this has two parts. Firstly, the rejoicing in the righteous judgments of God. And let me just read you verses 1 to 5. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honour and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. So there's this wonderful rejoice in heaven. They've endured so much, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God has gone through so much in this fallen world has stood for the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they have been persecuted, even though they have been wronged, even though they have been marginalized, even though their witness has gone to a large extent unheard and unheeded, yet they have stood, and they are now with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And they are going to see, and for their very eyes, the justice of God brought in. And that brings great rejoicing in them, that yes, there is justice for all the injustices of this world. There is justice over all the sin and all the evilness and all the depravity of this world. I remember listening to a report about Jimmy Savile and the terrible crimes that he did against many people. And at the end, one of the people who was talking about it said, the only regret is that Jimmy Savile never lived to see justice, and he escaped justice. Well, friends, he didn't. There is a far more and greater justice and judge who will judge him and deal with him. And Jimmy Savile, unless by some strange thing that we do not know, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ right at the end, Jimmy Savile will be dealt with, and he will pay for his sins and his crimes, and it will take all eternity to suffer for those sins and crimes. And of course, the more you do, the worse your crimes are, the worse your suffering in hell is, because it is the consequences of our crimes and of our sins. So there is great rejoicing that justice will be done, and that those who have perpetrated these crimes and sins and pursued these things and opposed God and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, now they have to pay for it. They have to take the consequences for what they have done. And so the heavens rejoice in the salvation and glory and honour and power that belongs to the Lamb of the Lord our God, because he is the King and he has that power and authority to judge the world. And he is true and righteous in all his judgments. Verse 2. He is the one who is fit to judge the world, because he is the one who is pure, and there is no fault in him, never any sin in him. Holy and true is our God, and his laws are right and true, and his judgments are impartial. He deals with sin, and he deals with those who have committed the sin. For true and righteous are your judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged it on her, the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. All the glory is due to our God. All the glory for the great salvation, the mercy and love that we, the Lord's people, enjoy through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't stand before the Lord Jesus Christ because we're better than anybody else in this world. We stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, free from our sins, because the Lord Jesus Christ, in his love and mercy, has taken those sins upon himself and paid the price in our place. So we are set free because he has suffered for us. So our song is the praise and glory of God. Then the voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great. Now there's a second reason for our rejoicing, and that is because this heralds the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to be with his church forever and all eternity, never to be separated again by distance, never to be separated again in any way, but to be brought to him and to be made one with him. In verse 6 we read, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, Jesus Christ is the center of all prophecy in the scripture. All is building up to his coming the first time or his coming the second time. It is all about him, the great savior of the world and the great redeemer of his people. And here we see them joined together, finding that great marriage of the Lamb, that great supper that they are welcomed to enjoy with their king. And what a great day that will be for them. Betrothed to him by that great election in heaven and that great covenant that was made between him and his father on their behalf, that he would save them and redeem them and they would be his people for all eternity. Paid for, that great dowry paid when he went to the cross and paid with his life, his holy life, his pure life, in their stead for all their sins. What a saviour he is. There was never a payment made that is greater than the payment that our Lord Jesus Christ has made for his people. He gave his all so that they could have all. He gave his all for those who were so unworthy of anything from him except his judgment and his wrath. Robed in those precious robes of righteousness before the throne. Yes, they are the righteous acts of the saints, but those righteous acts can only be done because the righteousness that they stand before God in that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are robed in that righteousness. And even though they are the saints' righteous acts, the glory will be to God and to the Lamb forever for those righteous acts. And they are the blessed of the Lord, aren't they? Welcomed to this wonderful feast. Welcome to the royal marriage as the Lord's chosen, the Lord's people forever and all eternity. Loved by him for all eternity. And it is him that we worship. And it is to him that we give glory to. No one else is worthy of that glory. Verse 10, we see that, don't we? Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, let me ask you, friends, on that great day, will you be rejoicing because you have been welcomed to the marriage of the Lamb? Will you be part of it? Will you be part of his betrothed? Will you be with him, welcomed to him for all eternity, to be with him and dwell with him in the glories of heaven? It can be true of you, friends, if you're not at this time. You can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still time. Where there's life, there is still hope, is there not? And you too can come to be part of that wonderful kingdom of God. Those wonderful saved souls that will be rejoicing on that day. Now the second section of chapter 19 deals with the beginning of the seventh section of this book, the final end. What is Christ yet to do? Christ is yet to do this. He is yet to conquer his great enemy, Satan, and his agents, those nations and peoples that have stood and been the agents of Satan, and the religions, the false religions of this world, that have captivated the people's minds and hearts and kept them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ riding out in all his majesty, in all his power, conquering and to conquer. Now, let me remind you, friends, these seven sections are all dealing with the same period of time. That period of time from the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming to his second coming. And what we're seeing is just a building up of information and enlightenment and knowledge about what is happening during this gospel, what we call the gospel age. His first coming and his second coming, when he comes to destroy the world and to destroy all his enemies and to take his people to be with him for all eternity. So we're just starting that period of time again. We're looking at the gospel age again. And how the Lord Jesus Christ will bring it to an end with the destruction of all his enemies. And here we see the destruction of Satan and his great agents in this world. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Lord Jesus Christ is the one who sits on the throne of judgment. All judgment is given to him. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the scripture teaches us. And we must all be there. And he is the best of judges because he knows, A, what we have been through in this world. He is tempted in all things just like we are, yet without sin. But also, he knows who are his. He knows those who have put their trust in him. And he knows those whom he has died for on the cross of Calvary. So here he is, righteous in his judgments and making war with all his enemies. His eyes like flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written on that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with robe dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He truly is the Word of God because he is God, and all that he says and all that he pronounces and all the judgments that he makes are the very words of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So this is a picture of the saints coming to judge the world in righteousness. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule over them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here he is. He is the ruler of all the world. He is the conqueror of all the world. He is the one that all the world answers to. All the kings, right down to the poorest person in this world, right down to the children of this world, they all answer to him. He is King of Kings. They will all bow their knee before him. We must all bow before the throne of God and confess that he is the King of Glory, the Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the great beast, the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Now the picture of the birds is this. If you can think about battles, a battleground, when there's the aftermath, all the dead bodies around, it's then that the birds come down and the scavengers start to scavenge the bodies of the soldiers. So this is the picture of utter destruction of all his enemies. That will be the situation. He's gathered the birds together to feast upon his enemies. That's how certain their destruction is. Now they're gathering together. The armies are gathering together. All the nations of the world are turning against God and against his son and against his people and against his word, to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophets, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So these two beasts, who have been the agents of Satan, they are cast away. All the nations of the world who have opposed Jesus Christ and have opposed God and will not have him as their king and their lord over him, they will be cast away forever and all eternity. Those who have beguiled the people of this world and kept the people of the world away from God and from the Lamb, they will be destroyed. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So here is the utter destruction of all these enemies who have come out against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will be destroyed too. His end is nigh. But here we see that none will escape on that day when the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes to reign and destroy all who have opposed him. You see, there is justice. God is not going to turn a blind eye to our sin and our rebellion against him. Rebellion must be dealt with, and those who've rebelled must be dealt with. And that rebellion can either be dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for us in our stead, or we must pay the price for all our sins and our rebellion against God. And on that great day, friends, where will you be? Will you be in the army of the saints? Will you be those who come to judge the world in righteousness with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you be those who have been persecuted and have been maligned by this world, but now are standing in victory, conquering with the great conqueror who comes? The scripture says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, more than friends, because all our enemies will be destroyed and never more to raise their heads against us if we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or will you be with those who will be conquered? Or you will have your little time, your little moment, and you will stand and oppose God and think that you can triumph over God, but in the end it will end in utter destruction. Your souls will be judged and you will be cast away forever and all eternity into hell. And there you will anguish for all eternity, suffering for your sins, because you wouldn't trust in Jesus Christ, who would have suffered for your sins in your place. What will it be, friends? Jesus or hell? What will it be for you? Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you'll be with us next week for the next instalment. We're nearly coming to the end now. We're going to see the destruction of Satan very soon, and him cast away into the pit forever. And we're going to see the triumph of the Church of Jesus Christ in heaven and the glories of heaven that await them. So please be with us for the next instalment. And if you can't wait for that, then please do tune in to As We Grow Tabernacle, the website. There are live streams on there on Sunday. There are also messages and sermons and articles for you to help you. So may they be a blessing to you. Thank you. Goodbye.